In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Some words of the great biblical scholar N.T. Wright. The mission of the church is to be the spirit-filled agency through which genuine advance signs of new creation are brought to birth. What God accomplished in Jesus' resurrection is to be actualized again and again in acts of justice and mercy. Barnabas, like St. Paul, is not one of the 12 disciples called by Jesus, but his life was so changed by the power of Jesus' resurrection that, like Paul, he was afforded the title apostle. Now, the name Barnabas should give us a clue as to why we are all called to live mission-shaped lives. He appears first in the Acts of the Apostles as a devoted follower of Jesus who set an example to the other disciples. We read, "There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So first we should notice that Barnabas was a Levite. He was formed in the practice of the worship of the temple and how worship is at the heart of the life of faith. Secondly, he was a Jew from Cyprus and knew something of the diversity of the world in which he grew up, which may also explain why he and Paul were chosen to be apostles to the Gentiles. Thirdly, he gave to the community from his own resources. Now, you could say that he is the patron saint of Christian stewardship, of giving to the church's mission through his treasure and not simply through time and talent. Barnabas was not afraid to speak his mind, and it was Barnabas who brought the newly converted Saul to the apostles in Jerusalem, even though they were afraid of him. And it was Barnabas who then accompanied Paul on many of his missionary journeys. It was through the mission of Barnabas to Antioch, as we heard in our epistle reading, that the disciples were first given the name Christians. He was clearly a powerful presence, for in Lystra, following the healing of a man crippled from birth, the people said, "Look, the gods have come down in human form," and they named Barnabas Zeus, and Paul Hermes. Now, the irony of this was not lost on Barnabas, for he knew that he had to proclaim the good news that the one true God had indeed come down from heaven in human form, and that his name was not Zeus, but Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Challenge was therefore something that Barnabas was well used to. Indeed, he and Paul had such a disagreement over who should accompany them on a particular missionary journey that they actually had to go their separate ways, with Barnabas taking Mark with him to Cyprus. But possibly the most important intervention that Barnabas made in the New Testament church was to speak up for the Gentile followers of Jesus at the first council at Jerusalem that resulted in the first apostolic letter affirming that there was no need for Gentiles to follow Jewish law and practice. There is, of course, a delicious irony for us Episcopalians, because so many conservative Protestant Christians and some Catholic Christians rely on Paul and Barnabas, who were, in fact, the progressives of the New Testament church and who stood against the conservatives who wanted to impose Jewish law and practice and tradition on all Gentiles. And they won. My friends, we are called to be sons and daughters of encouragement. We are called to bear witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus that welcomes all. We are called to make a difference, not just with our time and talents, but also, I'm afraid, to put our money where our mouth is, and to become signs of that new creation breaking into our world. As Tom Wright said, what God accomplished in Jesus' resurrection is to be actualized again and again in acts of justice and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.